Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Happy New Year from Houston, Texas, and especially from Ask the Pastor Now. Welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, and on tonight's program, we invite you to join us in celebration as we close out 2014 and begin an exciting new year. That's right. Once again, welcome to 2015. Tonight, we will even take on the challenge of the dreaded and often maligned New Year's resolutions. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, quite fine, Jim. It's certainly wonderful to be back in a whole brand new year. Always excited for a fresh opportunity. So to all of our listeners, a very special welcome to the year 2015. I know growing up, the only time I heard numbers like 2015 was if I was watching a science fiction program. Way, way out in the future, around 2015, something would happen. And guess what? We're here. So be careful. You don't know what might be coming out of the sky. But I want to thank Jim for having this time to help us to celebrate. Also want to take this time to encourage our listeners. God has blessed us with a whole new year to begin afresh and to share the gospel, to study God's word, to look for opportunities to be an encouragement to each other, to the body of Christ. So this can be a very special year if we're wise enough to start off the right way, which is to give it back to God, to trust Him to give us wisdom for each and every step that we take. And as we said, to look at this whole issue of New Year's resolutions, and also maybe taking a little time just to look about how God blessed last year and some of the events that took place. So let's get into that, but just before we do, let's, as I said before, do it the right way. Jim, why don't you open us in prayer?
Happy to. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight both to study your word and also to give thanks. Father, we ask for your clear direction in all that we say or do. But tonight, Lord, mostly, we just want to thank you. How do we thank you? A simple thank you seems so inadequate. After all, you created us fearfully and wonderfully and uniquely. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons clear direction and the exact words you'd have him deliver. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the word, but put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May God touch lives through you throughout the coming year.
The best thing that ever happened in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled Jesus, Salvation and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust that you'll find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, His resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.rightlyons.com. That's www.rightlyons.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
God touch lives through you throughout the coming year.
And that's certainly true. That's certainly our prayer and heart's desire to see God do incredible things through your life in the coming year. So, Jim, it's been an exciting 2014. And tell me, do you remember how we began 2014?
Well, if memory serves me right, we began with something like this.
The country has grown increasingly hostile to those who believe in Jesus Christ. There is an ongoing intolerance for Christian values, beliefs, and even their way of speaking. It has reached a point where many behaviors are tolerated, but Christian moral values are viewed with suspicion even by the government. Enough is enough. The government takes a stand and imprisons one of the well-known Christian leaders of the faith. The Apostle John is removed to the island of Patmos, a Roman penal colony. And while Rome celebrates, God gives a vision to John on the Lord's Day, which comes to be known as the Book of Revelation. Join us on Thursday nights when we study the Book of Revelation, a book that many do not understand, many are confused by, and simply have not read. Ironically, it is the only book of the Bible that promises a blessing to those who read it. Join Dr. Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons as we study this prophetic book of things to come. Don't put off your blessings any longer.
That's right, Jim. We started 2014 by continuing in our study of the book of Revelation. We, of course, began that in 2013. It is a long book if you study it right. And what I simply mean by that, you can skim over it and take it lightly. But there is so much encouragement, challenge, events that we need to be aware of as we go through that book that, you know, I really think even taking it sentence by sentence was a bit of a challenge, but it was important to do that. And I think we had a great time. We began it in the year 2013 and took most of 2014 to finish that up. But to me, it was a great blessing, a great encouragement. It is a book that promises a blessing just for studying it. And so that's quite remarkable. And I think our listeners enjoyed it based on the responses that we had coming in throughout that year. And of course, I'd remind our listeners that it's available in through some of the archives. But Jim, let me ask you, what was something special that you got from our study in the book of Revelation?
Well, you know, Pastor, you've touched on it already. You were talking about the blessing for just reading it. And in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 3, capsulizes that. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And it just kind of set the tone for what we were to study, because I think it is a blessing to know that God loves us enough to give us a prefix, a preamble of what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And though it involves a lot of horrible things, and our hearts go out to those that have not stepped forward and accepted Christ, and we know that that these terrible things are going to happen, but you taught us, and you didn't say it from what you remember, we actually read it verse by verse, that the church, the people that have already accepted Christ, will not witness all of that. We'll be called up to heaven. So that's one of the things I remembered, is how wonderful from our perspective, but how horrible it is for those that have not accepted Christ and end up maybe never accepting Christ. And then I remember at the end, it was chapter 22, verse 14, I remember, "Blessed are they that do his commandments." You know, he never seems to depart from that. It's not just reading the word, but it's actually calling us to action. And it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right," I love this, "right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." So I found Revelation to be so comforting from my perspective, but as you and I had talked, there are other folks involved, including our Heavenly Father, who has to just have his heart broken seeing that they're not going to respond. And for those people, it's sad. For us, it's a wonderful time.
That is so true. And I am so thankful that of all the things you could bring out, that is something you touched on. There from a pastor's standpoint, there's some material in there that is really easy to get pumped up about, passionate about. When you're preaching it, teaching it, you can find yourself, you know, raising your voice, getting very dynamic, just because of the sheer power and energy that is to be found in those passages. And yet, one of the things we have to be cautious of is you can become so caught up in it that you can come across as though you're excited about it. Well, excuse me, I'm definitely excited about the Lord's return. I'm definitely excited about his blessings, his honoring the promises that he's given us. But I hope no one ever hears a tone in our voice when we're passionate about that to think that we're excited about the judgment to come, excited about people paying the price of living in sin all these years and for rejecting the Son of God. No, that, you know, God draws no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Neither do his believers, neither do his pastors. And I think sometimes in our passion and excitement of a passage, that might be misunderstood. So I'm glad you drew attention to the fact that, no, we don't draw satisfaction to judgment that will come. But even now we're reminded of God's patience, and I think that's very, very significant, that God is so patient in giving time for people to turn their hearts to Christ, to know him as Savior and Lord. In our study, we had times when we saw the blessings of God on Christians. We saw his patience for those who had been martyred and wondering when would they be avenged. And likewise, we saw his patience time and time again as he meted out judgments designed not to simply punish, but to draw people to him to realize there is a price to be paid. You need to make up your mind on which side you stand. So a remarkable book, a powerful book, but I hope that any listener who hears that book and the passages and the teachings of it will always walk away knowing that we grieve at the prospect of those who would reject the plan of salvation and reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, Jim, there was actually another book of the Bible that we found time to go into during good old 2014. And I'll give you a little clue. It was a book that we spent more time in studying than you thought we would spend time in studying. But I'll leave it to you. Do you recall which book that was?
Philemon. I do remember how after that study was over, I was amazed at how much meat was on that bone. I just remember that it was a phenomenal one page in my Bible, and mine has giant print. So I was so amazed at how much there was to learn in that book. And I remember, you know, how Paul was the slave that left Onesimus, I think was his name, whose very name, as I recall, meant profitable. But he was a slave and had stolen and left his master, ran away. And then Paul, there was a conversion. He became a Christian. And then Paul, talk about a spin doctor. This Paul would have been phenomenal in today's politics, because when he got through praising, you know, the slave owner, when he got through with Philemon, Philemon must have thought, well, I am one fine guy. And then he drops a bomb on him and says, so with all of this, how great a Christian you are and how much I can depend on you, I need you to take this man back. And that was so countercultural at the time, because, Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, but back then they would have executed him, correct?
Oh, very definitely, definitely. High price to pay. They were quite serious about it. If you stole something, they'd take your hand off. And if you had committed almost any other crime, you were put to death. And, of course, he was guilty both of theft and of shaming his owner, Philemon. And so he probably would have, you know, had his hand taken off, and then they would have gotten tough with him. So, they would have raised the limit on punishment. So it's an exciting book, and it is a surprising book, because, as you say, here you come up on this one that's only a page long, just barely a page long, and then suddenly you start finding all these nuggets in there. In fact, I was thinking, I said, you know, God has blessed me to write a couple of books, and I'm hoping he'll lead me again in that area. But I just realized in listening to you, I think you're going to have to come out with one as well. For the benefit of our non-Texas listeners in the audience, I love that phrase you had, how much meat was on that bone? I mean, that's a good line, and it's certifiable Texan. So, you know, I may have to start keeping a little list of your phrases. I think you do a great job with those, and maybe that'll be a good book for you to crank out, you know, a translation cue for Ask the Pastor listeners. How about that?
Well, you know, I've already shared with you the, you know, I could have been so wealthy. I just missed a couple of opportunities. Like, I just didn't quite go far enough when I invented WD-39. I missed it by one number. So I have some material, but I'm going to really need a ghost writer to keep it all pulled together for a book. But if I can confine it to one page, I might have a shot.
There you go. There you go. That should not be a problem, really. Oh, mercy. Any other comments you have to share for us on either Philemon or things that went throughout 2014?
Well, I just going back to that a moment, Philemon, the fact that Onesimus, the slave, the name means profitable, and I think of how this is so typical of us before we knew Christ, that, you know, our name may mean profitable, but we certainly weren't until we accepted Christ. And this is a good demonstration of how his very name was fulfilled. And so I'll just remember that part probably every time I go through the book again. So, well, Pastor, let me ask you about one of our special guests from last year. Tell me, who was our first guest that year, and what was significant about his being on the program at that very time?
That's actually an easy one for me, because it's a gentleman that I have grown to have a great deal of respect for, a gentleman I try to remember to pray for, and we've had contact with him previously. In fact, in the year before, we interviewed him because he was about to start work on a movie called A Matter of Faith. And when we had him back, and I would say that would have been April 24th, it was because he was releasing that movie. In fact, I'll give you a little clip of when we were advertising him coming.
When worldviews collide, sometimes it becomes a matter of faith. From Rich Cristiano, the director of The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry and Time Changer, comes a new movie that deals with a real-life situation that is impacting many Christian families. A Matter of Faith is the story of a Christian girl who goes off to college for her freshman year and begins to be influenced by her popular biology professor, who teaches that evolution is the answer to the origins of life. When Rachel's father senses something changing with his daughter, he begins to examine the situation, and what he discovers catches him completely off guard. Starring Jordan Trevelyan, Jay Pickett, Harry Anderson from the TV series Night Court, and Clarence Gilliard from the series Walker, Texas Ranger, the movie has a very talented cast. A Matter of Faith is directed by Rich Cristiano. Please plan on joining us Thursday, April 24th, when we have as our special guest, Rich Cristiano. Rich will be announcing the release date of the movie and sharing how you can be involved in bringing the movie to your community and local theater. Don't miss out on this great opportunity.
Now, Rich Cristiano has a twin brother, Dave, and both of them are movie producers and have movie companies. Do some incredible work, definitely worth checking out. Now, the movie A Matter of Faith is still in theaters around the country. If you are trying to track that down, by all means, feel free to send us an email. By the same context, if you would say, well, our church would like to step up and get it into our community, if that's something you'd like to do, again, contact us. We'll put you in touch with Rich, and he's got some things set up where the church can benefit from that activity. And explain the whole process to you. It's something really worth looking at, too. We need to be proactive in capturing our communities for Christ. This is one more and a very powerful way of doing that. People will go into churches sometimes. They will come in for holiday events, special events. But one of the things that really draws them in is when we make that personal contact. But you know, it's pretty non-threatening to be invited to go see a movie. And what they don't realize is the power and strength of a movie like this. And Rich and his brother Dave, and certainly some other folks. In fact, just part of the broadcast, Jim and I were talking about another producer we've had some contact with, David A.R. White. He's also had movies come out this past year. And God is raising up some great men in this area to really bring back movies of faith. And Rich's film, A Matter of Faith, deals with some tough issues with the area of sending our young people off to the colleges and universities and being taught really things that are anti-Scripture, anti-God. And how does a parent react to that? What do you do? So this gives you some good information. And it's done as a movie. It's not done as a lecture. And saved or unsaved, it's got a lot of power in there. It's great actors, great actresses. It's worth seeing. No question about that. Mm-hmm. So again, if you're interested in getting information about it, you can certainly search the internet. But also feel free to email us. And if it's something you think your church would be liking to pursue, then let us know, and we'll get you in touch with Rich and his staff and see what we can do with that. Let me ask you a question, Jim.
Okay.
Now, during this year, we had two musical guests last year. And you recall, who was the first one, and what was significant about the timing of his being with us?
Wow. This is a memory test.
I was expecting to hear the sounds of silence, so I'm glad you're speaking. That's good.
Well, if it was Simon and Garfunkel, that'd be easy. I lived that music. But, I recall who it was. I believe that would be David Earl Lawson. Am I right?
I do believe you're correct.
Well,
In fact, I tell you what, I've got a little clip from one of his songs. Would you like to hear it at this time?
I'd love to. He's got a great country sound. I love it.
In fact, I'll tell you what, before I do that song, what was the reason that we had him on the show? Something had happened. What was it?
Oh, yeah. Trying to remember the significance. What, wasn't it because of his CD that he had just released? Was that it?
There you go. And this song is from that CD. So here it is.
It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've lost. It don't matter how you've sinned. It don't matter what it's cost. It don't matter anymore. That old life you lived in sin, you're still loved by the Lord. It don't matter where you've been. I've been down the road that's full of pain for the soul, and I've hung my head in shame when sin left me holding the blame. When I found grace at Calvary, my blinded eyes began to see. You don't have to live in sin. It don't matter where you've been. Have you given up on the road? Have you fell and lost your way? Now is it life you just can't cope? God has a plan for you today. You can leave it all behind. Then your new life you will find. You you can walk away from sin. It don't matter where you've been. You see, I've been down the road that's full of pain for the soul, and I've hung my head in shame when sin left me holding the blame. When I found grace at Calvary, my blinded eyes began to see. You can walk away from sin. It don't matter where you've been. Your broken life, He still can mend. It don't matter where you've been.
So definitely my compliments, Jim. You not only remembered his name, but you recalled the new CD. Actually, I was thinking about the date he joined us. That was also important. He joined us on July 3rd, and he has a military background I think we've already touched on. And so it was nice to celebrate the independence of our country by having a patriot, a member of the military who is, I think, near retirement. And what's exciting is to see how God is using him, blessing him through music as he begins to sing and share the gospel in various churches in the area there in the Carolinas. I believe he's out of North Carolina. And so it's just a great blessing, and I was glad we could share that song, It Don't Matter Where You've Been. And I would encourage people, again, feel free to contact us if you'd like to know more about reaching David Earl Lawson, either to come and to be at your church, or likewise, perhaps to have an opportunity to get some of his music, certainly the CD, there may even be another one by now. It's amazing how God will bless a man who will turn their talents over to him and allow him to have that freedom. And so, Jim, what I'm going to do before I turn it back to you is, I know we have one short little bumper spot to share with our listeners. And after that, if you would be kind enough to remind our listeners how they can contact us by email or how they can go to the website to get additional information.
May God touch lives through you throughout the coming year.
Jim?
All right. Well, as the pastor said, you can reach us on the web at www.askthepastornow.com. That's askthepastornow.com. Well, Pastor, now it's my turn. Who was the second musician that we had join us that year? You remember?
Okay. I tell you what, before I even touch on that, I was going to say, I noticed you're still popping lines tonight. You said that, well, you know, as the pastor said, are you trying to do a spinoff program? Is that what that little phrase was? I didn't know. but just a thought. What can I say? But let me say, actually, I was stalling for time. Okay. Who was the second musician? Well, as I said, we had our first. Our second one was Mark Bishop, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Let me see. He, I think, also had just had a new CD come out. But what was a little different is we spent some time sharing and talking about his family, his ministry, some of his other music that's been out there for so long. By the way, if you're not familiar with him, by all means, go to his website. He has an incredible amount of resources on his website. A lot of musicians simply put out there, okay, this is where we're going to be next. Here's how you can buy my album. And that's what they have to say. He is so unique in that the lyrics for his music are just so incredibly powerful. And he puts a lot of the words out there. You just keep on digging around his site. You just find jewel and nugget one after the other. There's just so much to find. It's really exciting. One of my favorite songs that he does is really a blessing. And I would encourage people to listen to that. Actually, I have a little sample of it here right now. And it's simply entitled, Can I Pray for You?
Can I feed your gate? That's what praying is for. I'll help you, can
You know, Pastor, I just remember so much about him, how I really admired him. As I recall, doesn't he have two young girls and his wife? And he's the kind of guy that goes from engagement to engagement, but he gets home to spend time with his family. And as I recall, he does what we used to call a lot of windshield time. Where he'd be driving, definitely. He'd be driving from engagement to engagement, and that gave him time to actually write some of his songs as he had that time alone that he could be with our Heavenly Father. So I remember some great points that he made, and he was pretty had a good sense of humor, I thought, too.
Especially appreciated that he kept a pattern of making sure that he had time home with his children. You know, it really is easy to get caught up in ministry, and the family can suffer for that. But I appreciate that he had a balance, that he put serious discipline in his life to make certain that that was taken care of.
Right.
I just happen to think that's important, and you can't help but come away not only valuing the message of his music, which is very strong there. Each one is like a ballad in itself, but also the fact that he would do it in such a way that he protected his home, protected his family. And I just think that was very special. And I think we're going to have one more little spot here that we need to take care of, and then it'll be back to you, Jim, to share with our listeners.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are a little more than a teenager, and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings, make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle age, and finally as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy today.
May God touch lives through you throughout the coming year.
Jim?
Well, Pastor, let's move from 2000. Can you believe we're saying 2014's over? Let's move from 2014 to our new year, 2015. What is a new year's resolution, Pastor? And in fact, why do we do that?
Well, you know, actually, I'm tempted to say that, leave me out of that topic. You know, I don't do New Year's resolutions.
Now, that's odd. Thought I've heard you say you do in the past. What happened?
Nothing, really. I don't do resolutions. But I do have a special practice that I do in each January, which, by amazingly coincidence, we've just started January. But before I even explain that, let's talk about what the New Year resolution is. And I think, actually, you have some resources there with you. And by definition, what is a New Year's resolution?
Well, funny you should ask. I just happen to have some material here on the subject. According to dictionary.com, and isn't that the source authority for just about everything in the world, the act of resolving or determining upon an action, course of action, method, procedure, etc. Now, according to Wikipedia, a New Year's resolution is a secular, and I underline secular, tradition, most common in the Western Hemisphere, but also found in the Eastern Hemisphere, in which a person makes a promise to to do an act of self-improvement or something slightly nice, such as opening doors for people and beginning from New Year's Day. You know, it's like walking an old lady across the street and finding out
that's
she didn't
right.
really
Even if she
didn't
want to go.
The street.
There you go.
They also show that it has its origins in the ancient Babylonians. I didn't know that. Made promises to their gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. Our government ought to hear about that. By the way,
that is an interesting one. I like that. Yeah.
By the way, here's a list I found posted by a writer named Liz Davis.
Okay.
Number one, she said, go back to school. Number two, get a better job. So that's assuming we have a job. In shape. Get in shape. Boy, that's always high on the list, isn't it?
That's
make
true.
Make a difference. That's good. Go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Travel. What do you think?
Now, those are all, you know, good resolutions. I looked at them. I was thinking, like, get in shape. You know, a lot of people have got a shape. It's just they're thinking about maybe they need a different shape. I think that's something that comes into play. And
Never have.
You know, because it's, you can't travel if you can't actually get through the doorway. That's an issue, you know, and make a difference. I think that's a good, strong one. But, you know, it sounds like those Babylonians gave the startup or a history of New Year's resolutions, that the rest of the mankind and womankind gave us a practice of breaking the resolution, or at least not keeping them. And that's my principal objection to a resolution. It really is just a man-made endeavor. And consequently, you know, a lot of times these resolutions have an end date before we even establish the start date. I was watching a news program this morning, and the little anchor desk there, the different people were commenting about their resolutions that they had made. And one of the people there commented, said, well, isn't that the same resolution you made last year? And the response was, yes, and you'll probably hear it again next year. So apparently, you know, they have a resolution that they're very consistent in not fulfilling. And that's the difference. You know, a Christian should not commit their word to something if they're not serious about something. In fact, let's take a look at what the Bible has to say. Now, first, if you're not keeping God's word, let's not fiddle with a new set of rules or resolutions. So, Deuteronomy 4:2, he shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. In other words, we don't play with what God has already said to do. A lot of us have enough things that we're trying to get right with God, behaving ourselves and being obedient to Him in our lives, that, you know, do we really need to establish a resolution on the subject when God has already given us something to deal with it? Another great scripture is in Matthew 5:37. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than those cometh evil. In other words, if you say something, you're going to do it, do it. And if your answer is no, then stand by that. And so to have something as frivolous as a New Year's resolution, I know some people can have just sort of fun with them, but it's like you're almost laughing knowing that your word isn't worth it. What you're about to say you're going to do, you know up front you're not going to do. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So I think what I'm really saying is here, to me, the weak link in a resolution is usually it's something that's taken frivolously, and yet the concept is good. If you really want to improve yourself, get closer to God, to make yourself a person of faith, then yes, we can look at our lives and try to clean things up and try to do things better. That's a great idea. But just simply throw something out there frivolous that has no meaning, no value, I think that's just having other people look around us and almost laugh at what we say, rather than seeing the results of what we said we're going to do. And I think that's important. Jim, what do you think about that?
Well, a couple of thoughts, Pastor. When you're reading Matthew 5:37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. And so It made me think just now that I don't think you can improve on anything God has said and anything in the Bible. So if he's giving us admonishment that is adequate,
I think
my thoughts on that are that we have a tendency to say, on my mother's grave, or we try to have an enhancement or a modifier.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Trying to reinforce. And what I think this is telling us is when you do that, you conjure up the other person, if it's in a discussion perhaps. Why is he having to modify this? And they start to wonder, is it really authentic, and are you really being honest and true? So I think God is explaining to us that just say no. That's the most powerful thing you can do. Just say yes, just say no, and don't say any more. So I think, you know, if you've ever watched litigation and somebody tries to modify or compound their answer, what happens is all you got to do, a skilled attorney, a skilled barrister can take the more you talk about and the more you modify that, the more ammunition he has to attack. And, well, I didn't mean it that way. Well, that's what you said. You said this, and it just starts to get a ball of yarn that comes unwound. And so
absolutely.
I just would love to, you know, when you said this, it made me focus. And then, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, this is in James, neither by heaven nor by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and nay be, said it again, so it must be important. But it looks like you don't have to swear, I swear that this is true, because that apparently diminishes the validity. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly agree with you. I was thinking of an old country comedian that was a very strong Christian, but he had an expression he would always use when he'd be telling the story. He'd say, now I'm telling you the truth now with my hand up. I mean, that was his stock phrase. He'd always say it. But he'd say it over and over again, just sort of letting you know, don't actually believe what I'm about to tell you now.
Right.
And, you know, yes, the people laughed because they knew that's not true. They knew he wasn't telling you straight. And but our words need to be worth something. I recall a gentleman that I worked together for about 10 years, and it was a secular application, but one of the things I always respected, we worked together for 10 years, Tim, and we never had a written contract between us. We took care of an awful lot of business, but our whole relationship revolved around a handshake. He gave me his word on something, I gave him my word on something, and we knew it would be taken care of. And
wow.
That's the way business ought to happen in this world. I know that is so unusual these days, but that was
yeah.
the strength of the projects that we worked on. It was based on a handshake and a commitment. And I think that is something Christians should be accused of, being honest and integrity. That's the kind of thing that we should be accused of, that our word counts for something.
Right, right. Well, Pastor, I would just, you know, reading this and trying to apply it, as you told us time and time again, it's not just reading the word, it's actually putting it in action in our lives. I wonder how would be a good way to break the habit, because I still have the habit of wanting to reinforce what I say. And I guess because I'm surrounded, we all are surrounded by commercials. And to me, a commercial on TV or on the cable is absolutely, I think it is a lie encased in some form of truth. So how would we break the habit of doing what I think comes natural because of the society we live in? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think consistency, first of all, but I certainly agree with you. I mean, I've noticed you try to watch a product commercial and you notice at the bottom of the screen, there's a huge paragraph in the smallest print you've ever seen giving all the disclaimers. In fact, I even watched a film earlier today, and when it got to the end, I remember there was a piece of music in it that I was curious about. So I was looking forward to when they ran the credits, I was going to get the name of that piece of music. And they listed, like, the first two names, which were big stars, and then suddenly the scrolling just took off. And, I mean, they finished what probably would have taken, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in more like about 5 seconds. So there was no way you could read it. It just went by way too quick.
Mm-hmm.
So they could say honestly they had displayed it, but realistically you couldn't have read it. I think one of the things we ought to get in the habit of doing when we tell a statement is just not qualified. You know, let it hang out there, and if the people look like they don't get it, just tell them, say, well, you have my word on it, and leave it at that. Because your word has to be worth something, and I think if we make that statement occasionally, people will start to realize that, well, he didn't qualify it in any way. He plans to actually do what he said he's going to do. And I think that's important. You know, I think we need to get in that habit of letting our word being worth something. And the nice thing is, either in business or in home or in church, you know, when you say, yes, I'm going to do something, and you do it, if you say, no, I'm not going to do that, and you don't backtrack, that immediately over time begins to build character and builds a reputation for you that you are a person whose yes means something and your no means something. Mm-hmm. And if you ever have a situation come up where you've said you're going to take care of it and you realize that for whatever reason it's not going to happen on the date and time you planned, go back to the person. Explain to them, this is what's happened. I intend to do it, but you need to know this is what's taking place. So I just want to clarify for you, to let you know, I have not forgotten this, and I have not forgotten my promise I've given you. I'm going to take care of this, and this is how I'm going to take care of it. You know, that little extra step in there, because I think sometimes people think, say, well, we can't do it now. They know we can't do it now. We'll get to it later. And what the person simply remembers is that you said you're going to do something, and it didn't happen. So follow up with people. Let them know that you're perfectly aware of what's going on. Hear what the delays are. And here's when it's going to happen. This is what's going on. I think that's very important to carry that process through.
Well, I think it also, Pastor, you're making me think about when you make a commitment or a promise, I think you need to be careful that you know how it appears to be attainable, and then invariably circumstances will change. And you go, oh, no, I promised them I would do this, or they're expecting this, and now this has happened. And so I think that's a good word to remember is, you know, call the person up and say, Charles, I said I would be there, but the water heater just blew up. Can I be late? or something. I think what we're doing essentially is, we're trying to be different. We're trying to be the salt and the light. And if we're doing what everybody else is doing, then we're defeating God's purpose here. So I think it helps me to have more character and to take responsibility for what I say and do. And that's not easy for a guy that shoots his mouth off a lot and then tries to make it right later. And it's also not easy if you're married. You just seem to, when a wife says, does this look good on me? Does this fit well? You know, I'm a little and I am so careful now. And you have to have some degree of, I guess, wisdom to know you don't, whatever you're thinking, the first thought, don't say it. Don't say the first thought and give it some time because what you say is important and you don't want to be unkind and sometimes your heart goes out to the person and you don't want to disappoint. And more important, I think the thing that I deal with, Pastor, and maybe I'm the only one, but I have an ego. I don't want anybody to think I'm inadequate or that I can't deliver. And so, you know, I think it's just the fact that the Holy Spirit convicts me sometimes and gets me to think, and that's not easy for me to think, is a great challenge and important outcome.
Well, that's very good.
If you don't believe in resolutions, Pastor, what do you do?
Well, personally, I believe in what I call a lifetime list. And you know, Benjamin Franklin is the one that, as far as I know, we give credit to this. He began by making a very detailed listing and kept great notes on goals about his life that he wanted to work on. And he looked at them and said, these are my goals. These are my objectives. And he had initially 12 of them. And his thought process is that each month he would work on one of them and certainly be aware of all the items in the list. And then annually would reflect on those to see how he was doing and progress on that. Interestingly enough, he shared the list with a friend that he had a lot of respect for. The man looked at the list and gave it back to him and said, I noticed that you did not include humility. And I think you should add humility to the list. So Benjamin Franklin did. He had a list then of 13 items. And they began working on them very studiously and giving attention to them. And later in life, he made notes over this list and commented that he felt like he had had great success in improving his life in each of those areas except one. Regarding humility, he said, that wasn't originally my idea anyway, so I guess it's okay. But the fun thing about this is what I believe. I think he had a great idea there. And I think it's got merit for a Christian to pursue. And so what I do in the month of January, usually I try to work on that first week, and I'll find times that I can just sort of set it. So I block out an hour just to think and process on this, and I keep that list, and these are areas that I want to work on in my life. And these aren't just simply a matter of you know, temperament or something like that, although that can be part of the list. But also you look at the list and say, what's really important? For example, one of the items on my list is to be a reader and to acquire books. Sometimes that's almost a space issue because I've, you know, devoted a lot of time to that effort. But I believe that is one of the ways that we grow is by reading. And I think you make a better leader if you read and absorb and take material in, good material. Let me specify that. And so these items, just like Franklin suggested, on an annual basis, I go back and I fresh look at those lists because I want to know, is there maybe one of the items that I set out for myself, has it started to slip? Am I not giving it the attention it needs? Or likewise, am I finding something that I am successful with, which means that perhaps now I can focus a little more strength in another area? And so these are goals, these are personal objectives that I want in my life, that I find importance to. And so this lifetime list is just that. It's a list that I keep working on as the years go by. And from time to time, you know, it may be in the middle of the month, it could be on a weekly basis, whatever works out, I make a point of getting some time and just looking at the list and seeing, where am I? Am I doing okay? Is there something I need to refocus on? And by refocusing on it, by always keeping it as a goal to be working on those things, you'd be surprised the things you can achieve and improve on. And it gives you an edge. But I think that's it. You become less frustrated because every month you can look at it and see, well, I'm a little closer than I was before. I'm making progress. And, you know, as with Franklin, he said, you know, this was a lifelong objective to always be getting closer and better under control and more disciplined. And the only way he did it was to be constantly bringing them in front of himself as he began his day, just like we have a quiet time with the Word of God and he was saying, it's good to bring that list up and make sure the things that's in harmony with Scripture so that God can bless them and strengthen them in our lives. So I find it to be a real asset and a real strength. That's my approach to it. Do you have something similar that you do?
Well, I was. You've made me think again. I wish you'd stop that. And by the way, did you know Ben Franklin personally or you had to read about him? I can't remember.
I think we went to junior high together, actually.
Went to different schools together.
That's
what
true.
You made me think of is there's a lot of talk on Christian radio about reading the Bible in 1 year. And that seems to be something a lot of people resolve at the beginning of the year. And I would just like to touch on it because I think you've explained and you've taught us that just praying, you know, we have a tendency to pray when we need something as if God is a bellhop and Father, here's my list today and oh my gosh, I got this test and I've got this appointment and I need you to, and I have a tendency to get him prepared for all the things that I need him for, and I forget sometimes to say a conversation is talking and listening and giving the other person the chance to talk, which I'm not doing a good job of right now, but as you read the Bible, you're allowing God to speak to you, right? And when you pray, you're speaking to God, and it is a dialogue and not a monologue. So I think that would make a wonderful resolution this year for all of us to think about reading the Bibles and give God a chance to to work in your heart and your mind and your soul and convict you and teach you and admonish you. And so I would just say that that ought to be high on our list is reading the Bible. Thoughts?
That's very true. Well, let me ask you an odd question. Do you spend any time with your wife?
Gosh, that's a great question. Yes, I do. Do I spend
Would you agree that one of the reasons? Would you agree that one of the reasons you spend time with your wife is that you happen to love your wife?
I think that's exactly why I do it. Yes.
Well, let me ask you. Don't we always hear Christians saying that they love God's word and they love God? And if so, then doesn't that move the question, do we spend time in God's word?
Wow. Yeah.
If we love His word, do we spend time with it?
Well,
and I think that's a question we have to answer every day.
Yeah. You know, Pastor, I think of it, and again, I get back to this trying not to be so selfish, but it's so hard not to because as I read the Bible, I'm getting so much out of it. And I think that's part of the blessing of God's word is that He's inviting us to come feed on His word. And I think the word feed is important because I have to eat every day. And so
that's
I think that the more time I spend in God's word, I'm really getting the benefit out of it, you know? And I think God must love it too because he asked us to do it. So, yeah, I think it's a wonderful, selfish thing to do because it's a wonderful result.
That's so true. And it's amazing that if we take the time as we read through Scripture, and I think this is funny because, you know, let's say you're the person who methodically is in the Genesis 1-1 and reads all the way through. And you have a certain amount you're going to read each day, whether that's a quantity of verses or whether that is an amount of time. Now, here's the part that I find fascinating. You know, you may have something come up on a given day, and in the course of that afternoon, you're going to be challenged with a situation. And what you read that morning is the perfect answer to the situation.
Right.
I've seen that happen time and time again. And yet, you know, we treat it as though that's a surprise. That we randomly went through Scripture, we methodically, do we really think God can pick out the right verse for us on June 12th that we'll need on June 12th afternoon?
Yes,
absolutely, because His Word, He doesn't send it out void. He sends it out knowing that it's going to be used and it will be successful.
Right.
But we have to first of all be reading it, have that work for us. Jim, I am absolutely shocked. Our radio folks have just told me we've only got about 30 seconds left. So I would again encourage people to, you know, it's a new year. Consider yourself a clean slate. Get down what you're going to do with God this year and keep your life pure and holy for Him. Jim, your closing thought?
Pastor, I want to wish you a happy new year. It was a wonderful 2014. Let's do it again this year. Let's do work for the Lord.
Amen. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.